Tomorrow is Mardi Gras, the last hurrah before Lent and a celebration of the coming of spring. Mardi Gras is usually associated with New Orleans and its grand balls and parades, but in communities on the prairie of southwest Louisiana, known as Cajun Country, Mardi Gras is quite a different celebration. It involves revelers in a quest to find the makings of a communal gumbo. NPR's Renee Montaigne spoke with a professor of Louisiana folklore who has been documenting country Mardi Gras.
Mardi Gras in Cajun country is laced with centuries-old traditions. The French who settled in what is now Nova Scotia and later migrated to southern Louisiana shaped their own style of Mardi Gras with, of course, food and music. Barry Ancelet and his students from the University of Louisiana at Lafayette have been gathering the raw sounds of country Mardi Gras for 15 years. Here's Mamou, Louisiana.
Le Mardi Gras, ça vient de tout partout, tout le tour, le tour du moyeu. The Mardi Gras come from all over. They come but once a year to ask for a little charity, even if it's only a skinny chicken and a few corn cobs.
And nabbing that chicken is part of the country tradition called the Mardi Gras Run. Barry Ancelet.
What's called the run is this procession of masked, costumed revelers who are under the control of a captain who go from house to house in their neighborhoods, visiting their friends and neighbors and family members to collect the ingredients for a communal meal that'll be eaten that day.
And I gather there's some kind of role reversal also going on?
Yeah, the Mardi Gras is essentially about turning society upside down for a day. So you see men dressing as women, women dressing as men, old as young, young as old. People go through great lengths to hide their identity, and they're playing with people they know and who can't recognize them momentarily. And this is an example of what typically happens as a Mardi Gras group approaches a house. The captain goes out to the house and asks for permission to enter. As they say in French, est-ce que vous voulez recevoir cette bande de Mardi Gras? Are you willing to receive this band of Mardi Gras? And will you provide something for our gumbo? And at the same time, they're trying to keep control of this rowdy bunch of masked revelers who are trying to approach the house.
What ingredients are the runners begging for? What do they typically get?
It could be flour, rice, onions, sausage, but ideally it's a chicken. And most ideally, the chicken is still alive and set on the run, because this adds to the hilarity that the visit provides the household. The household is providing something of great value, especially historically in Cajun culture. Eggs were used as money. And so providing a chicken was a serious business. And so in exchange for this, the host family has to be given something as well. And so the procession sings and dances and makes them laugh and provides a moment of joy as part of the visit.
Music, of course, is part of all of this. I have here a Mardi Gras song that you recorded in Elton, Louisiana. Elton is one little community that revived its Mardi Gras just a few years ago. How did they manage to bring it back?
Well, the people in Elton a long time ago used to run Mardi Gras like most communities in South Louisiana. And in some communities, the practice faded for various reasons. And the young people in Elton found themselves driving over to other communities nearby that were still running Mardi Gras. And it didn't make sense for them because they weren't visiting people that they knew. They weren't visiting their own neighbors. So they decided they wanted to revive their own Mardi Gras. And one of the things that was missing was the song. As it happened, I was interviewing one of the older members of the Elton community, Mr. Asa Buller, about life in the old days. And I said, oh, did they used to have their own song? And he said, they did. And he told me the words of the song.
They told, I can't sing, but I'll give you the words. Told the Mardi Gras.
Their Mardi Gras are looking for the ingredients of the gumbo, that even if it's a cup of grease or chicken. And so they revived their own song based on these interviews that we had done.
We've talked about the gumbo feast at the end of the day. Obviously, that's at the heart of the run is the gathering of the ingredients. Do you have a family recipe for Mardi Gras gumbo?
Yeah, my mother cooked the gumbo for our Mardi Gras in the Austin community for many years, and consequently she had to develop a recipe that would serve about 100 people. So it starts out with, 55 pounds of chicken and...
All right.
And, yeah, 8 quarts of oil. But you're right. The gathering of the ingredients is one aspect of it, and then the gathering of the community to share that meal together is the other aspect of it. Mardi Gras, of course, occurs on the day right before Ash Wednesday, the beginning of Lent, which is a traditional season of fasting. And it was a good social strategy to get everybody to fast together by creating a moment of solidarity where everybody feasted together just before.
Well, I have a technical question. How did Mama Ansele, your mother, how did she cook these gallons and gallons of oil and dozens of chickens?
We have a different notion of cooking here in South Louisiana. You know, just about every family I know has a gumbo pot that is the size of a trash can. When she cooked for large family gatherings, it could be for up to 25, 30 people, and she just tripled that recipe.
And outside, or did she manage to get that right on top of her stove?
Oh, no, she got it on top of the stove. But everybody would eat in the yard around her house on Mardi Gras Day. It was really a wonderful moment.
And if listeners want Mama Ansele's recipe for 100, they can go to the NPR website, npr.org, and I guess put a number 10 into it or something for most of us.
Divide it by 10. You never can tell. 100 people might show up.
Barry Ansele is professor of folklore and francophone studies at the University of Louisiana at Lafayette. He spoke from member station KRVS in Lafayette. I'm Renee Montaigne, NPR News.